Having said that, let's turn back to Ezekiel. We began last time. Again, we're going to just take a couple of, a little time just to identify, as I said last time, the fault lines. And then we're going to try to, this is like, you know, the macro picture, I guess. And then to try to zero in, on the micro picture of the individual. So, because I gave you a few things for base on base, I'll give you tomorrow or Tuesday an expanded list of things. But before we do that, I just want to make sure that everybody's gone through above the base to identify at least some of the issues and to talk about them, and that's what I want to do right now. So we began by discussing some of these issues by noting that the Mishnah itself, right, seems to provide opposite perspectives on the relationship between the avos. In other words, whether all the avos and zikin constitute really one mechayiv with, Xeris HaKasuv or maybe identifiable rational tweaks, and compensations, and so forth. This Nezek, it's all about the same thing, whatever that is. Either one factor or a combination of factors, whether it's Maisa Hezek and a bank account, whether it's a bank account, it's Maisa Hezek, whether it's Shmira of some sort. I tried to show that each of these really is much more nuanced, and we'll see that throughout. But let's say, this perspective is that it's all basically one or that same combination, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, there's a little more of this here and a little more of that there, and that, spills over into, different peturim, unless they're just simply Xeris HaKasuv, but that's one perspective. And that certainly is accentuated by the end of the Mishnah, Hatzara Shava Shabahen, which, is the homogenization of all of the other. The Gemara itself asks, in the end of the day, what do we need? The Hatzara Shava Shabahen. So we'll get back to that. I just want to read the line inside. I want to take a little bit of time just very quickly to identify the lines in the Gemara that are food for thought and that need to be analyzed, according to the Perushim in depth to bring out these categories. And since they're all together in Bava Kamma, as I say, it makes it challenging and it's going to be work in progress as we move through different sukkahs. The second perspective is to zero in on the first in that line of the Mishnah, and that is Arba Avos Nezikin. It's Nezikin, not Mazikin. It's Hain. It's Arba. It's Lo Re'ei, Zeh Kazeh. In other words, the accent on the differences, not on the commonality, not on homogenizing, but on specializing. And that, of course, leaves you with the question also, and that is, what do you do when something falls, between the cracks? And here, there are questions to ask. We'll get to what Ravelvel exactly says soon, either today or finish this part of it on Tuesday. But again, Ravelvel, it's important to know what Ravelvel actually says, and we'll talk about Shua and Isaac's point, because Ravelvel was Ravelvel. We deeply care what he thought. But more importantly, the piece raises, the issues. So, the issues stand or fall on their own merit. And the point is, if we zero in on there being four categories of Nezikin, so then the question that we want to ask is, how do we relate to those four in two senses, right? Are the four exclusive and there is no generic? Or is there a generic? There are two dinim. There are four categories of Nezikin, and there's a generic. I think what we were disputing a little bit last week, and we'll get back to it, is the question, if there are four categories and a generic, is that just another way of saying, which may be Ravelvel's formulation, that really the generic is the mechayev, and the four categories are just kind of a way, it's a little bit disappointing, of zeroing in on the Xeris HaKasuv Peturim, right? But basically, the idea is the mechayev. I think that it's possible to formulate the relationship differently, and that is that there are four categories of Nezek. I guess I have a little bit in the back of my mind the paradigm of Shabbos, which we spent some time on. Namely, that in Shabbos you have 39 categories, and according to some Rishonim, even 39 Shemos Yisr. And at the same time, and this is particularly manifest with regard to Yom Tov or certain other things, right? Or Shigas Shabbos as opposed to Shigas Malachos, right? At the same time, you have an Iser Klal. So I think that that's possible in the Zikin as well. You have four, paradigms, which are Mechaibim, and in addition, there's also a homogenized, general Mazik. And the Hilchoseim then isn't just, technical details. It may also be technical details, but they reflect, different Mechaibim, where there might be different emphasis of one of the factors or the interrelationship of the factors, etc. In other words, X, let's say, Bor might be about Yetzirat Samazik, and Karen might be about Maisa Hezek, and Shane Varegel might be about Choser Shmira. Okay? And maybe that partly explains, some of the characteristic differences between them on the Chiyuv and the Ptur level. And then in addition to that, there's still a generic Mazik. I think if that is possible as well. If we take that view, we could also ask the question, and that is the four mazikim that exist. We could have said, maybe there's no generic mazik. I'll just lay out the questions and then we'll see how it shakes out. Maybe there's only the four categories, and everything has to fit into those four categories. In which case, you then have a secondary question, and that secondary question is, like when you have, you don't have a Platonic Karen, or a Platonic, I'm giving Plato a lot of credit this year. It just happens to work in. a Platonic Karen, a Platonic Shane, a Platonic Regal, a Platonic, Bor, a Platonic Asia, a Platonic Adam, right? When you don't have that, you have something that is, an imperfect, derivative of that, let's say, not derivative in Mishal Shalut, but a derivative conceptually. So what do you do? So if you have, an addition, there are two dinim, there are the categories, anything not perfectly in the category goes to the generic mazik, that's fine. But if there is no generic mazik, you have a problem. Even if you do have a generic mazik, right, you still might be more flexible, in asking whether or not everything that doesn't fit perfectly into the Platonic form of one of the Avos Nezikin, maybe everything isn't part of the generic mazik, and there will be nafkamina. What are the two options? The two options, I guess, open to you are to say, well, as much as possible, if it has some of the characteristics of the av hamazik or av nezek, then what you have to do is you have to figure out, and that's a secondary question. In the options that are available to you, again, if there's no generic, then you have to do this in each case, because there are only four categories. If there is a generic, in addition, so you could say, well, it doesn't have to be generic, it has enough of the Platonic, paradigms, to be included in one of them. But now the question is, right, which one? What is the dominant element of the hybrid? We'll call it hybrid, right? A similar question, by the way, just phenomenologically, is found in other places. There are Arba Shomri, right? And they're actually on the lists of Dalet Amud Beis, right? So Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, Socher, Shoel. So the Mishnah says in Bava Metzia, right? What is it, Tzadi Gimel or so, that Masna Shomer Chinam Lios Kishoel. Right, Masna Sholios Kishom Rachinam, right? It's flexible. And then there's a discussion in the Gemara. What about Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, right? Tnai Davrshu B'mamon Kayam, etc. But again, what happens when you have a hybrid, Shomer? You make a Tnai, or there's some case that itself just doesn't fit perfectly into the Platonic, paradigm of Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, Socher, and Hashom. So if you look at the Rishonim in the end of Socher, there seems to be, again, a major debate in the Rishonim, I believe the Raivid, the Rajba, whether or not you're forced al pidin. I'm not talking about the Tnai Davar Sheba Mamon, technically that, you can have a Shoel and you can be Masna away some of the, it could be Mechilas Mamon. The question is, can you really change the categories, right? Or is it just, Mechila? In general, that's the question about Tnai Davar Sheba Mamon, being Kaya. So what I'm asking is, when you have imperfect shomrim, do you have to choose the dominant, you know, one and put it in that category? He's more of a shomer chinam than he is a shomer tzachar. Again, you have to assess that. That's a whole other, I'd say, secondary fascinating question, whether it's in Avos Hazikim or in Shomrim, right, to figure out, well, he has this characteristic, not that. Is that the dominant? Is this the dominant? You know, what is that? What are these Shomrim really all about? Are they about, talk about it, Achrayas? Are they about Pshia? Are they about, you know, are they insurance companies? What are they? You know, but at the end of the day, everything has to be forced, Alpidin, Ekronit, at least, into one of those four categories. Or there aren't really four categories. The four categories are, you know, they exemplify the relationship between the characteristics and the consequences. So that if you have something that's, you know, in between a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar, you know, so you'll probably get consequences, you know, that are in between as well. You don't rule it to have to be four, but the Torah did in describing four was gave you an example of, you know, of how to establish, you know, the relationship between characteristics and consequences. We'll call it that. And similarly, again, it's a parallel question. You can be Michalik. And similarly, when it comes to the Avos Hazikin, right, if maybe you don't have to force everything into the four, right, maybe the four are intended to be simply a relationship between characteristics and consequences. And therefore, you know, there can be six, and there can be eight. That's not the same as saying, you know, that, you know, you're either all in four, right, or you're in the generic. So there could be a hybrid category if the category itself is determined by the consequences. So, for example, Rav Velbel's view of, you know, kiyotze and lav kiyotze in the Habamina, you know, for that reason, I just want to clarify what we were saying the other day, you know, lav kiyotze bo, which we don't paskin like, except in the case of Tzoros, and Tzoros is a totally different case. It doesn't have fully the characteristics of the Av, so we'll get back to Tzoros. We have a lot to do this year. But at the end of the day, right, what would have been Lav Kiyot? What would it be that the Toldos were like the Avos? So as we explain, the idea would be that the Avos are somewhat, not like Rashi, that you're Potter. You're Chayiv, right? But you are Chayiv, you know, without the Hilchosein. It's generic. Right? Or, maybe one could have said that when you have things, you have Toldos. So again, that would imply that the tzura of the av is itself part of its hagdara. But we don't paskin that way, because we say toldoseim basically is kiyotze bahem. But now the question is, does there remain, you know, a level of ein l'chavo l'chidusho regarding, if not the tzura, the particular case, at least, right, the platonic characteristics that are fully in place, right? Kavanos alahazik, Mishuna for Karen, right? Hanal Lazeko for Shane. I'm going to discuss all these, identify all these. Matsui for Regel, right? Tchilas asiyas alahazik for Bor, Kochachar Murabo for A, all the things, right? Okay, so they're not limited to cases that the Torah happened to speak about, and maybe that are the best cases ever, because the Torah spoke about them. Right, but now the question becomes, right, what happens, are these as characteristics fixed categories? That's the question I'm just trying to frame it now. In other words, so that it's not true that lav kiyotze bahen, you know, arbitrarily, let's say, because of the tzura, but maybe it is true, right, that the characteristics and their relationship to the consequences are not flexible. They're not dynamic. They just define a dominant category, and the category stands on its own. Or no? What we're really saying when we say lav kiyotze bahen is, you know, you don't have to fix, you know, the tzura into having, you know, some sort of substantive significance. And even you don't have to choose between four categories. What you could end up saying is that there's a relationship between the characteristics and the consequences. And then your secondary challenge is not to figure out, you know, what makes Shore Shore, what makes Karen Karen, Shane Shane, Boar Boar. I don't have to say them all, right? It's not that only. It's really which characteristics are connected to which consequences. Like, you know, is Tumen Be'esh connected to the, to the Koach Achar Be'urav Bo, to the Lav, Ein Bo Ruach HaChayim part? You know, is Tam connected to the, Kavanos Alahazik part or the Mishuna part? And so on and so forth. Because that will determine when you have these complex cases or hybrid cases, whatever you want to call them, right, whether or not you're going to treat them one way or another. But either way, what we're suggesting then is, that either everything is generic and we have some Turim, or there are four categories, there are only four, or there are four categories which are basically, the foundation for understanding and creating potentially hybrid categories. Hybrid cases, right, don't have to be forced into a single, style or category, right? They too, there can be hybrid of us, but not everything is going to be a hybrid of either. So that's really what we want to think about. So, for example, again, I want to go into details after just doing the survey. So, for example, when the Rush, quotes two deos about hybrids, right? And Rav Belville takes it in a certain way. And again, I think the contribution of the piece is very important. But mostly it seems, we'll read part of it inside, that he's assuming that the views in the Rush are totally mutually exclusive in all cases, meaning what's at stake is an attitude towards all hybrids. Right? All hybrids are forced into one of the four, and you just have to figure out which one they're most closely proximate to, right? Or all hybrids are going to be lefi, the kula, of any component that is applicable in the particular case. But the truth is that when we think of the question of hybrids, right, it may end up being much more complicated than that. There may be different types of hybrids. There are hybrids, which require us to pick and choose. Right, there are hybrids where, a particular characteristic may end up with a particular consequence. And then there are hybrids where the characteristics, are differentiated, in such a way that they might create their own, kind of hybrid of. Mostly, it doesn't sound that way in the argument between the Rosh and the Esh Omrim, but at least that's something to consider based on what we are, projecting. Yeah.
To clarify my question, what would be the motivation to have, if you think that the four of us can constitute all of the Nezikin, that you would have to fit every interpretive case specifically one of the others? Why would you say you can't combine
to
generate a new case?
That is a shita, clearly, right? You don't deny that. That seems to be, unless you assume that those are particular cases, where... that's the view that the Rush, seems to embrace, right?
Okay.
The question is, what does he mean by it? Does he mean that in the cases in the Gemara, right, it's clear that there are dominant and more peripheral, characteristics, and therefore it's reasonable to be picking the dominant one? In which case, I agree with you, that's kind of what I was trying to say now, in which case there can be different hybrids, right? There can be a hybrid where, it's clearly Zanikar and a Tafel, and therefore it's basically Bor. And the Tafel may be even be so Tafel, right? Or, you know, is the Rush saying that there are four, and, you know, you have to just, you know, you go with the closest one.
Right. Why would you think that?
I think if you hold that the consequences are not derivative of the characteristics, you know, in a direct way, but that the characteristics are different factors, right, in defining the category, but that the category is what's kaveya, then I think you'll say that. For the same reason you might say it in Shomrim, like, why should you ever say that? Yeah, it's as if you're convinced that, like, the whole is more than the sum of its parts, and that the parts, you know, are just part of a process of defining these categories, but the categories end up being, you know, very, the distinctiveness of the categories is part of what makes them, then I think you'd be inclined, you know, to say. Okay? So this is what I think we need to keep an eye open for. So, for example, like Natan was asking me the other day, if I answer the question, there seems like there's some inconsistency, for example, in the Rush. And maybe if you take the Tosa Rush and the Rush, Chuvasa Rush, right? So how, you know, damaging, you know, is that? So that's why it's important to have these categories. If you take the view that this is a fundamental question, there are four categories, everything has to fit in, you know, or not. You know, everything is just, you know, or the other extreme, which is any input from any characteristic of any other av, you know, carries with it the kulas of both. That's kind of the way Revelvel, you know, portrays it. You have a look at the language, but and definitely you could read the 2 days and the Rush that way. So then there should be no difference between any of the hybrids. That's the Gemara has four hybrid cases, right? Automatically, right? It has Koach Achar Meura Bo and Bor. Again, I'm sorry, I really wanted to survey the Gemaras first, but hopefully we read it. Koach Achar Meura Bo and Bor. Right, it has, you know, Ragle Adam Ubehema in Bor. Then it has, you know, Rishus in Bor, you know, Bor Bershus. And then it has Ein Triath Trilaso, am I right? Benezek, you know, in Bor. So those happen to all be four Bor cases, which is also very interesting. So, but of course, our infinite possibility of hybrids, you know, other Bor cases and other, you know, other cases of Shor and so on and so forth, right? So, are all hybrids the same? You could get the impression from the 2 days in the Rush, and certainly for Revelvel's presentation, that the answer is yes, because the question is, does everything have to fit into the four? And, you know, your dominant, you know, characteristics is the issue. You could still argue. For example, Tchilas Asiyasolene, I'm sorry, Yitziras Hamazik. Right? Again, to me, I think I said this last time, the first case on Bava Med Aleph, Koach Achar Meurabo, seems like the easiest case to be born. And the other cases seem to be a lot more problematic. Now, the reason I think that is so, but I'm not 100% sure, is because I think it's easier to say that Koach Achar Meurabo, depends also on your view of Eish, you know, is just expands the Hagdara, that should say Eish of Shemchitza, something like that. So it expands your Hagdara of Maisa. So the point in Bor is you have to create the Bor. If you created the Bor, not, you know, let's say directly through Kocho, but through Kocho of Koach Achar Meura Bo, the Chiddush of Eish tells you that in Hilchos Nezikin, this is one way to look at it, that's called an Asiya. And then you have a siyasa bor, and then it's a regular bor. What, you're going to stand on ceremony because you needed a little koach achar meurabo to get there? Right? On the other hand, you know, a bor, you know, viragli adam of behema, you know, you could really wonder whether location, 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 you know, isn't a critical aspect of bor. Sorry, I didn't say bor more than once. Meaning, you know, there's avonos akino maso, you know, and it's damaging. You know, you put it in Rosh Hashanah, and then it damages in Rosh Hashanah, but it doesn't damage, you know, in southwest Rosh Hashanah where you put it. It damages in northeast Rosh Hashanah where the behema or the adam kicked it. So, you know, to what extent, again, the material, Avonim Sakino Maso, its presence in Rosh Hashanah Rabin, you know, that's on you. You know, but location, you know, is that just a technicality? You know, the boar here, the boar there? Maybe a boar, a michshol, the nature of what a boar is that where it is and how it got to where it is part of the Hagdara. To me, that's very different than Koach HaKavura, though. More likely to be a dilution than the first, but also not impossible to say otherwise. For example, let's say you say that Koach HaKavura, though, really isn't, you know, just a Hagdara of Maisa. It remains a diluted Maisa. And that the Ikar Din and Bor is Yetzira Sabor, and therefore the Maisa Hezek is really the building of the Bor. So the building of the Bor was in a compromised, you know, was based on a compromised principle, or an Eish principle. This is really not just a Bor al Yedei Eish, this is an Eish Bor, right? Hyphenated, right? We're not up to the end of the year yet, so I don't have to use the blackboard, but you understand what I mean. So it depends on, just like the second question, right? Again, I'm not trying to confuse them, I'm just trying to make clear what some of the issues are. So the second question, first question becomes, to what extent is Koach HaKavura really a Chiddush, even after we know it? Moreover, like how much of the Bor is about, you know, the Michshol that takes place, and how much of it is about Yetziras HaBor? And then, if it is a Tzira Sabor, is that a Maisa Hezek, so we care about the Pu'ula, the Maisa, or is it just the effect of being connected with bringing into existence this Bor? That's the first question. In the second case, location, you could trivial, I could devil's advocate in either way. You know, the Bor is the Avonos Akino Maso, it's Brishus HaRabim. It's Brishus HaRabim here, it's Brishus HaRabim there, it's Brishus HaRabim. So that's a technicality. You know, there's also a little bit of added, you know, it isn't just the Yotzer HaBor, but there's another input here, which dilutes it a little bit. Or, no, location. It's a Michshol, Bishus HaRabim. So, you know, the most important thing is how it got to the place where it caused damage. So I've just made, you know, two opposite arguments for the first two cases of the Gemara. The third case, again, we'll talk about each one when we get to it, but, you know, Birshus, right? So, again, depending on how you understand Bor, like, is Rishus a little thing or a big thing? And is, you know, Ein Tchilas Asiyaso Benezek, you know, like, a guy has a home, and he has a gate, and he has a fence. You know, he didn't do anything since then, the Kumbase. Right? On the other hand, there's a Michshol that's Mitzuref to him. Right? If the government says you can, you know, if the EPA says it's okay to, you know, to vent all your waste in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, right? So it's hard to say that's a Maisa Hezek. So what's a Maisa Hezek? The fact that he's Michshol, that you're Mitzuref to the thing in which he was Michshol. Right? You didn't do anything wrong. So all these, what I'm suggesting is, instead of seeing all these four cases as being, if somebody had asked me about the 2 days in the rush, right, I would have said, you know, either it's an objective across the board question, right, and you have to fit everything in four categories, and then you have the hard work of figuring out what's dominant and what's not. And even then, based on what I just said, is Koach HaKavura diluted? Is the Maisa Yetzira Sabor the key? We can argue whether what's dominant, is it an Eish Bor or a Bor Al Yedei Eish? And the same thing about location, and the same thing about Rishus, and the same thing about, you know, Tchilas of a Heter. But fine, that's one kind of question. Or, anytime there's more than one input, you know, you get the Kulas Shevishneim, because it's just two inputs. Those are two objective perspectives. And according to those two objective perspectives, you could still have arguments, well, the second view, you wouldn't have any arguments. It would all be like that. And the first, you could have the argument, what's dominant and what's not dominant. What I'm adding to the mix is the possibility that not all hybrids are alike. If everything doesn't have to fit into the four, And it's not also objectively true that any time there's input from more than one, you automatically, no matter what, get the kulas. So then you have to assess each case and say like this, right? I would be very comfortable, assuming that koach hachar meurabo is considered a maisa of your own. It's a big assumption, right? Saying that's a no-brainer, that's a bor. But if location is a critical aspect in the nichshol of bor, then, you know, there might be equal short of bor, or maybe even a dominant short of bor. Right? And the same, you know, assessment on the other two. And there might be cases where it's kind of, you know, where what you're borrowing from Aish, you know, is a characteristic that is responsible for the special dinim of Ptur Tamun Be'esh. And another case, what you're borrowing from Aish, right, is something, you know, which has nothing to do with the Ptur Tamun. And the same with the Bar and the Kalin, you know, and the Shein V'Regel with the Rishus Harab. So then you have to look at the hybrid cases, you know, each in their own, what are the contributions of the multi-avos, and what connection do they have to the consequences? Now that is a much more complicated view of hybrids. It'll explain why certain Rishonim don't seem to be consistent all the time. Okay. Are we clear? Yeah.
The idea that Revelvel is predicated on, or one of his fundamental ideas, that the Todolav Keyotimo will not have the Dinim Yuchadim, how exactly will that work with the fact that the Gemara calls the Todolav Keyotimo that we find and says it's Dafka called that because it has the Dinim Yuchad, i.e. Pater Rishus Arabim?
You asked a question on Revelvel.
Yeah, how does that whole idea work? It's all predicated on the idea that a Todolav Keyotimo won't have the Dinim Yuchadim.
I'm not sure I understand. You're asking, according to Revelvel, who explains that what the Rif and the Rambam meant, we still have to discuss that more. The Rif and the Rambam really speak about Tam and Muad. That might be a Chiddush in Tam and Muad, right? But it's still Mechudash. Revelvel says that Tam and Muad of the Rif and the Rambam, again, it doesn't matter so much to me in the end of the day whether this is a Pshat in the Rif and the Rambam, or it's certainly another possibility which makes sense in the Sugya, right? So let's say, according to the view that says that None of the Hilchoseim, if you hold till the same lab kiyotze bahen, then none of the pturim or quirky dinim, let's say, of any of the avos will apply to the toldos.
Okay. Fine.
So you're asking based on that can't be because the Gemara
says the reason why it's called regel is because it's part of Rishus Harab. The reason why Chorodos, which is the total upheaval that the Gemara finds, is called.
Oh, I see. It only says that in the end by Tzoros.
Right. Meaning it's the exact opposite.
Right. I think you. I understand. Okay. Now I think I better understand the question. But until that point, it's fascinating that the Gemara didn't say that. Meaning, let's say. No, I'm saying what I'm saying is we're going to read the Gemara inside in just a sec. Time. I thought we were going to do it on. But we have to get through these Gemaras just to identify the points and then make it clearer what the issues are. And then we're getting into all the details. But till the Gemara concludes, right, on Gimel Amud Beis, that we're talking about Tzroros, every other time the Gemara rejected the idea of Toldoseim Lav Kiyotze Behem, it never quoted the Pturim. It only quoted the characteristics. In other words, when the Gemara says that, you know, Karen, it can't be Karen, I didn't say, oh, because, you know, you're going to distinguish between Tam and Muad. They quoted Kavanasa Lahazik or Shmirasan Alecha. Mamoncha Shmirasan Alecha, Kavanasa Lahazik. When it quotes Shane, it quotes Hana Shmirasan Alecha, Mamoncha. When it quotes Regel, it quotes Matsuim, Mamoncha, Shmirasan Alecha. When it quotes Eish, it quotes, and so on and so forth. It's only in the last, when they finally get to the answer, and it's Tzroros, that you have anything of the Hilchoseim. So I think what Revelvel will tell you is, I don't think it's a bad point, is that the Gemara had this Habamina, and that the answer of the Gemara is not an exception that is consistent with the Habaminas, but it is a radical departure. Basically, what the Gemara is saying, this is, I think it's good that you asked it. When the Gemara says Tsroros in the end of the day for a Velvel, the Gemara said the following. No. The whole idea of Lav Ki Yotze Bahen that we were working with till now, which is the idea that the Torah, very specifically in this Platonic way, said there's something called Shor and Bor and Eish and Regel and Shein, right? And, that the Tzura, the specific case, have these specific quirks, right? That idea, but everything else is part of, a generic, mazik. That idea is not what we meant by Lav Ki Yotze Bahen. What we meant was what happens when you have a situation which is quantitatively and qualitatively diluted from the characteristics of the Av. In the same way, let's say that almost practically that Tumah is. What about that? As opposed to saying, which is the way you're interpreting it, which is the Gemara finds one case that fits into its Havamina, and that case is Tsroros. What the Gemara was thinking till now about all of Karen, all of Shane, all of Regal, all of Aish, etc., is equivalent to what the Gemara says in the end about Tsroros. Then you're saying, but that's ridiculous, because the whole point in the Gemara says about Tsroros in the end is Mishalmin Migufar Min Aliyah and the Petur of Shane Regal. So clearly the Hilchoseim are part of the whole equation. So I'm answering in the name of Rav Elbow, that is not how to read the Gemara. The way to read the Gemara is, until now, the Gemara is not dealing with Hilchosein, because the Gemara is interested in whether the categories are Av Tipusim, they're Platonic with the Tzura, and that's the end of that. And then the Gemara said, we don't have, you're right, there is no such thing. So what do the words Lav Ki Yotze Bahen mean? No, it's something totally different. A diluted quality or quantity of one of the Avos, namely Regel, which is a Hilchosa. That's how you think you have to say.
Wouldn't that be difficult with the Rif, who seems to think that we are actually answering the question from the beginning of the Gemara? I mean, he's within the Rif who doesn't think that the Gemara has said.
I think there's a weakness in Rav Elbow's association with the Rif to begin with, meaning that I do agree. But I don't think it makes it a bad shot in the Gemara.
But nor, including Rashi, no one seems to indicate anywhere that the Gemara changed its mind.
I understand, but the truth is that, I'll put it this way, meaning reading the Gemara about Tsroros that way doesn't trouble me at all. I mean, if you're asking about fitting into the Rif of the Rambam, that troubles me a little bit. I think it's also very strange that the Rif of the Rambam would zero in on Tam and Muad and Dafka not on Hilchoseim, because to me, the Hilchoseim are way more mechudash and quirky, right, than Tam and Muad is. Tam and Muad seems to be a very reasonable category, but that's one of the things we have to assess still, based on, expected Shmira, whether you consider the animal to be like, a mazik waiting to happen, or just, nice Bessie and Dolly, who, had a bad day, So Tam and Muad, if I had to pick something, also the idea that, that Tam and Muad sounds like he thinks the Tam and Muad is a question in all of the Avos Hazikens. So I don't subscribe to the view that the Rif and the Rambam are saying what Rav Elbow says. But I do think it's a great idea in the Gemara. Having said that, I still think that it is true that Rav Elbow basically zeroes in on, the Tzad HaShaveh as being the Mechayev of all Hazikens and the Hilchoseim being something very, very narrow, which I don't think you need to do even within that shot. But I am comfortable. The thing I part company with you is I'm totally comfortable saying that when the Gemara reaches the conclusion of Tsroros, that's at 180 degree. That we find in many, many other Shaklavatarias as well. Meaning we exhausted. We couldn't find anything that means Lav Ki Yotze Bahen in a Hilchos Shabbos type of a way. So now we're looking for a kind of Hilchos Tumah Vatara kind of a way. Especially since you had both paradigms in a way.
It wouldn't be within any Rishon here specifically.
What? The Rishonim don't say so much here, but I think it's a very good shot in the Gemara. I think it's a very appealing shot in the Gemara. I would, again, tweak it a little bit in terms of the relationship between the Tzad HaShaveh and the Avos, if I had my choice, based on the paradigm of but I think you have to add that Tsroros is a 180-degree turn. I don't have any problem with that. Yeah?
Is there a just to clarify, would you say the same thing within the extreme read of Rashi? You read lots of years ago, there's no fear to pay at all.
Say that again?
Would you say the same answer to for Rashi?
Yeah, I think you have to say it. Yeah. Now, assuming that you know that's a correct reading of Rashi or a possible reading of Rashi, definitely some Achronim understood, Revelvel among them.
Yeah.
I mean, that Rashi says we talked about the language. Lav kiotzva means you're pater, but Tzroris isn't pater. That was one of the reasons that people had the objection. Right? I think you actually asked that question.
Wouldn't that be incumbent on Rashi to point that? I think Mark changed his mind.
I don't think so. I mean, again, I think it's so obvious that Tzroros is a tumma v'tahara kind of a tolda as opposed to a category tolda. In that, Tzroros may still be a category tolda, but it is a diluted action. It's not just that it's not the tzura, of the aptipus. Tzroros is a, grumma kind of a, right? The animal's walking, and then, the animal, triggers, a second act of nezek. A byproduct of its walking and rishus harabim. So to say that the Gemara couldn't figure out, the Gemara is saying pater according to Rashi. The Gemara is saying according to that understanding of Rashi. The Gemara is saying pater. How could it be pater? It's kavanos alahazik, just like Karen. How could it be pater? It's yeshan alazeko, just like Shane. How could it be pater? It's tchilas asiyas el nezek, just like Bor. The Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Ah, no, that's not what it is. It's Tzroros, meaning a qualitatively or quantitatively or both diluted case. That doesn't have to be Pater or Legamre anymore. That could be just less Chayiv B'Tashlumin. As opposed to, if the Tzura really matters and all of Avos Hazikim are Chiddush, you either go for the gold, you get the Platonic case, or you have nothing. Okay. Again, I'm sorry we're not moving in the, but we're talking. Hopefully, the issues that we're spelling out will help us move more quickly once we do. Yeah.
Is it clear that Papa thinks you're Pater versus Rav for Hasnetic Zoros?
Well, that's a discussion with the Gemara, right?
Well, I mean, Papa never comments on that.
Right.
Rav says you're Pater versus Rav.
Okay, but I'm saying it's either Megufo or Rishus Harabim.
Yeah, so isn't that the simpler answer for the Grizz?
The what?
According to the Gemara, Lafayot Zohan means you don't apply the Turin, and we don't apply the Turin, so Athena the Soros, because Lafayot Zohan.
For a Papa? I mean, isn't the whole Gemara discussing a Papa, and we're concluding in the end that, I don't know, how do you read that?
Ravazwan says that it's Pater Rishus Harabim.
Right, but isn't this... Isn't
Ravazwan never said Lafayot Zohan applies to any of the Toldos.
You want to distinguish between Rav Papa and Rava?
Yeah, it's pretty clear. Papa is the one that says that.
Really?
Yishman Lav Kiyos Behen.
Just one second.
The Grizz B, Lav Kiyos Behen, means you don't apply the Turim of the Avos.
And he would say this about Tzroros?
So.
I find that difficult. One second. The Chikam Rav Papa told it to Regel. Regel ho Kimna told it to Regel, Karegel. This is Rav Papa. The answer is Bechatzi Nezek Tzroros, the Hilchos Gemirla. Isn't the Gemara speaking in Rav Papa now? But my Korali told her then?
Yeah,
it's a Mishalim. The Shalim in Aliyah.
Right.
Okay. Isn't that a kid? Ay, Bami, boy, Rava. You're not sure about that?
Yeah.
The answer is to be Ponta Bishus Arabim. That isn't for Rav Papa?
Why is it for Rav Papa? Rav Papa is clear that you do claim in Aliyah. Rava's not clear, so why would you call it a
Tolda? All I'm saying is, to me, it reads...
We don't know what the Rava thinks. Each man says when he's in
Rava. I hear it. I hear what you're saying. I wouldn't have read the Gemara that way. I would have read that this is all working for a Papa. I just don't have a problem with it for the reason I said. But I hear... Okay. Yeah, let's at least start. I'm sorry again. We seem to be having trouble getting on track, but at least we're, hopefully defining the issues. So we had the first, what I want to do on Tuesday, we'll try to read some of the Shakavatari, but we'll skip maybe, some of the, or we'll go very quickly. I want to get through just to identify, the fault lines, as I call them, in the Gemara. Namely, because there's a lot going on in the Shakavatari, and this is like a good introduction to the entire six Prakim, which we just have to keep, as I say, updating and working on as we go along. But, again, the characteristics are chumras, they're kulas. How different are the avos from the questions that we're asking? Are the questions? But that's why it's not a waste of time. We're dealing with them in a little bit of an abstraction, but we're also trying to explain how it would shake out, I guess, you know, in halacha l'maisa, in some of the debates that we have. But for example, even the smaller things like, what does the word shor mean in the Mishnah, and whether or not one pasuk, one word in a pasuk, could contain shein and rega, and the Havamina certainly, had it gone a different way, would you be mechalik between mechalia karna, not mechalia karna, or shluche mishalchi, not, or, shalach, or, halach mimela? All of those issues reflect a certain perspective, or debate about a certain perspective, both about each of the avos separately, as well as the interrelationship between them. So I want to connect that, also to the psukim and also to the Sefer HaMin. If you get a chance on Shein v'Rego, also, I'll speak about it quickly, but to look in, the beginning of the second, I have to do a lot in the second parak, but the Mishnayos and Ketzer HaRegel, the question of the order, of Shein and Rego, and also just, to look at the Minyan Mitzvos, do we count Shein and Rego separately? The Rambam, the Smag, especially there's a very interesting piece in Sefer Mitzvos from Sajigon, Rav Yochanan Peshel Pirlo has a whole discussion. I think that the language in the Gemara and the contributions of some of the Rishonim are critical to these questions, and these are all part of these big questions. So we, fortunately, unfortunately, it's a challenge we have to kind of all at once, and then, kind of keep filling in the gaps and updating. But that's the way that the Masechta is presented. So we're going to continue on Tuesday. We'll try to get through the Gemara's Shaka Vatarias and identify the Rishonim in the Gemara that way. And then we're going to zero in on the Rishonim to build each one up. Okay?